Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Praise the Lord once again on tonight. Yes, this is Saturday, March the 10th, 2018. And yes, you are now again tuned in to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am Executive Director and host, Brother James Brown, Jr. We do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Well, as usual, I'm asking all the listeners, especially for the new listeners that may be tuning in for the first time on tonight, please get your Bibles and your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with the man of God in the presence of Deacon Marvin Cox, who will be bringing forth the word of God very shortly. But he always shares with us first an inspirational poem. So I'm asking all the listeners, get your Bibles and pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with the man of God as he delivers God's word. Why? Do I ask you to do that? Because I don't want you to take it lightly or think that me or any other guest that's come forth sharing the good news of Jesus Christ over this worldwide platform, that we're making things up. You can read it for yourself. So that's why it's so vital and important and necessary so that you can see it for yourself. Get your Bibles and pens and paper ready. Deacon Marvin Cox will be coming forth shortly. But as usual, we always open up with prayer. So I'm asking all listeners, if you will please open up in prayer with me at this time. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King. It is in his name that we come on tonight giving you praise. We give you glory and honor because of who you are. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this another day that you have made. We pray, Lord, that you would forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, blot out all of our iniquities in the name of Jesus Christ. I begin with myself and I also include my entire family. And my guest on tonight in the presence of Deacon Marvin Cox and his entire family, and all doers of your word that are being true doers of your word without hidden motives or agendas all around the world, Heavenly Father, you know who we are and where we are. So we ask that you forgive all of us of all of our sins and transgressions on tonight, so that our work for you that will not be in vain, that you will be glorified through it all. Is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come in the name of Jesus Christ, listen to all those that may be tuned in on tonight who are not saved in Jesus' name, who do not have a personal relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ. It is our hope and desire and prayer that something will be said through your word or through the ministry of music on tonight that will prick the hearts and the minds of those that are tuned in that are not saved in Jesus' name, that they will be able to surrender on tonight, and they will open their own mouth to confess their sins and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their hearts and save them. And once they're saved, they will come to know their God purpose, and they will fulfill their God purpose in the earth for your glory is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come praying for those that their heads are bowed down in sorrow on tonight in the loss of loved ones. We pray, Lord, that you will comfort their hearts. Let them remember and know that earth still has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. Heavenly Father, we lift up all those in a special manner, those that have been affected on yesterday for in the shooting in California, at the veterans' home in California, where a young man went in there and killed three people in that facility on yesterday. We lift up all those that have been affected by that shooting on yesterday. We lift up the families that have lost the three children in that fire in Eastland in Detroit, Michigan, on this morning. East Point, Michigan. Heavenly Father, we lift up those families. They are suffering because those children are so young and they died at an early age in the house fire on this morning. So we ask that you would comfort and strengthen their hearts as well, and not only them, but all those that are bereaved all over the land. Let them remember, Heavenly Father, that you are God, you sit high, you look low, and you are in total control, it looks like. We must depend on you. Heavenly Father, we just give your name praise. We give you glory. We give you honor because of who you are. You're so worthy to be praised. We just thank you for this worldwide platform on tonight. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to bless it and bless each listener, and that they will be compelled to go out and tell more men, women, boys, and girls about this worldwide platform, that others can tune in and be blessed by the word, that you will be glorified is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we also come looking about President and all those that are world leaders all over the land, that they will come in agreement and come into harmony, that the world will be at peace with one another. Heavenly Father, we know that there's nobody but the enemy who still comes in to kill, steal, and destroy. Not only marriages and ministries and communities and neighbors, but he comes to kill, steal, and destroy nations. But we know that you are a God who is in total control at all times. So we have to do but touch the hearts of those that have rule over your people all over the land, that they will do what's right for all people, that you will be glorified through it all is our prayer in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we ask that you will help us to decrease on tonight so that you may increase in us is our prayer. Have your way, Heavenly Father, is our prayer in Jesus' name. For this we give you glory in advance. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. And all those that are touching and agreeing with this prayer said amen. Well, once again, on tonight we do have another scripture food for thought, and it's a very simple one for some people that may fail to remember. Sometimes we need to just simply let go, let God. That's the spirit of food for thought for tonight. Let go, let God. Well, again, I do pray that you have your Bibles and pens and paper ready. And give me to go into a few announcements right now. Someone need to place your phone on mute. I don't know who that is. If you could please place your phone on mute. But anyway, I have a few announcements that I need to make. I pray that you have your pens and paper ready for those of you that live in the Detroit, Michigan area. Or if you are in the Ohio area or in the Indiana area and you're going to be in the Detroit, Michigan area for some of these upcoming events, and you may want to participate. So the first announcement I have for tonight is I am a member of the Greater Shield of Faith Baptist Church, where Bishop James A. Jennings is our pastor and shepherd. We are in the midst of his celebrating of his 28th pastoral anniversary. Every Sunday for the rest of this month, it started last Sunday for the 10 a.m. service and 3:30 service. We have different churches and different pastors that are coming in to help us celebrate our man of God, Bishop James A. Jennings, as he celebrates his 28th pastoral anniversary. Our church is located at 1330 Crane Street. That's near Agnes, right off of East Jefferson. My next announcement is coming from the Fountain of Truth Church. They present their 218th EOW, stands for Extraordinary Women, women's conference, which will be starting Thursday, April the 12th, and it will run through April the 15th. And their theme is There Is a Cure. Registration fee is $79. Co-pastor is Brenda Jones. She is the co-pastor. Bishop Michael Jones is the pastor there. If you need more information regarding this upcoming conference, you can go to www.eow.conference.net, or you can contact the church office. The phone number is area code 313-839-5200. And also, finally, from the Greater Shield of Faith Baptist Church, we will be, our Sunday school ministry will be presenting He Is Risen, and that will be taking place on the first Sunday in April, Easter Sunday morning, Resurrection Sunday morning at 9 a.m. He Is Risen. Again, the Greater Shield of Faith Sunday school ministry will be presenting He Is Risen at 9 a.m. Again, our church address is location is 1330 Crane Street off of near East Jefferson. Well, those are my announcements for tonight. I do pray that you have taken those notes down for those of you that are in the Michigan area that would like to participate in these upcoming events. Well, as we get ready to go forward, we are getting ready to bring forth Deacon Marvin Cox. He's going to share another one of his inspirational poems, as he always do. This young man is so anointed and gifted in writing poems that blesses and ministers to the body of Christ. So he's going to do the same thing on tonight. He's going to share with us inspirational poem first, and following his poem, he is going to come, and then he's going to share and deliver God's word. But before he do that, we are going to go right into our music break. And the music break for tonight, the song is titled Press My Way Through. Why? Because sometimes in life, that's what we have to do. We get hard sometimes, and sometimes we feel like giving up and throwing in the towel, but we cannot do that because we just have to press our way through, because the Lord Jesus told us that we can cast all of our cares upon Him. Why? Because He cares for us. So that's a good thing to know, that Jesus cares for us, and we can cast all of our cares upon Him. So we're going to tune in and listen to share this music selection on tonight, and I pray that you be blessed by it.
The scripture says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap if we faint not. Let me share with you the reason why Paul wrote that, because I understand something. As believers, we don't get weary of the work, but sometimes we get weary in the work. When you're working for God, didn't say you will never get tired. Amen. But I want to encourage you tonight. I've come here tonight. My assignment tonight is to encourage you, is to let you know in the midst of everything that you're going through, you got to learn how to press your way through. Push right through. The blessing is in the pressing. When you learn how to press, there's no secret what God can do. I ain't talking about something I heard. I'm talking about something I know. I've had to press. Yes, I'm a young man, but let me tell you, the young folk go through stuff too. We got to learn how to press our way. Listen to this song. The song says this.
Press my way through. I don't know for you.
I don't press my way through.
Said I can't give up now. I must press my way through.
Every day I'm pressing my way through.
Pressing my way through. God is all in the way. Must press my way.
Pentecostal boy here. Tony, say.
Press my way through.
Sing it, Tony. Sing.
Press my way through.
Woo.
I just can't give up now.
Y'all can help me. for singing. Come on.
Rest my weight.
Change
your mind.
Can't
give up now.
Rest my way.
Rest my way. I'm gonna play my
rest
way through.
God has something waiting.
For every tear you have to shed, every night you stay in a long night. God got something waiting. Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Anybody gonna hold on? I said, anybody gonna hold on? Anybody ever felt like giving up? Anybody ever felt like throwing in the towel? Anybody ever said, I ain't going back no more? Well, I got good news for you tonight. If you can hold on just a little while alone, touch someone and tell them help is on the way. Come on and tell somebody, help is on the way. Come on and tell them, help is on the way. Yes, yes, yes. God got something waiting. God
got something waiting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Say it again, y'all.
God is
waiting. How many of y'all been working hard in church? It looks like the more you work, the less the folk appreciate. Well, I want you to know payday is coming after a while. I said payday is coming after a while. You just remember one thing. God is something waiting.
God
is something waiting.
God
is something waiting.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Yes, 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 yes. You keep on holding on, keep on doing what you're doing. Keep fulfilling your God purpose. Don't throw in the towel. God has something waiting. Yes, Lord, just for you, with your name on it. So you don't go throw in the towel, don't give up. Just keep pressing your way through. So right now we are so excited to bring forth Deacon Marvin Cox, who is going to bring forth the word of God. But first he's going to share another inspirational poem. Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you to deliver your, to share with the worldwide listeners your poem, and then go directly into the word.
Amen. Once again, as I say, it's an awesome, awesome, awesome word of God. And it's an awesome responsibility to bring forth that word. And I just thank him for giving me that opportunity to speak once again on his behalf. I can never thank him enough for all the things that he's done to me and done for me. I'm just so grateful tonight. And I'd like to share this poem with you. It's called, I'm going to omit the testimony because most of you know it, but God has been good to me. He's blessed me more abundantly than I could ever imagine. And as I say, I'm going to share this poem with you. It's called, I Was Looking for Something That Was Already There. I was looking for something that was already there. All of the roads that I chose to travel, they led me to nowhere. There are many roads in life, this much we know is true. But only the road of repentance, Lord, will lead me back to you. I was searching for something that I already had. I thought the pleasures of my flesh would make me feel glad. But no matter what I said or no matter what I would do, my only true happiness, Lord, lies within you. I've been to many places. I've traveled near and far. But in the presence of those who love you and worship you, that's where you are. I was looking for courage because I had a great fear to confront my enemies when you were not near. Without the Lord in my life, no victory can ever be won. You can become fearless if you believe in God's most holy Son. I was looking for hope when it seemed all hope was lost. But Lord, you gave hope to the hopeless when you died on the cross. I was looking for love because it seemed that no one would care. But every time I needed peace and comfort, Lord, you were there. All of these things I looked for, I was too spiritually blind to see. There was no need for me to be fretful because you had already given these things to me. Now I will look to the heavens whenever I can. And Lord, realize you are the conscience of man. You will lead and guide us, and you'll always be fair. How foolish of me not to see, Lord, see you when you are already there. Amen. I'd like to now go straight into tonight's lesson. I'll be reading to you from the book of Isaiah, the sixth chapter, verse number one. I'm reading from the King James Bible. It may differ from your publication, but it's basically saying the same thing. Well, it is saying the same thing, only in different words. It said, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Okay, I'm going to stop there, but I'm going to come back to a few other verses in that chapter. I just read it to you from the book of Isaiah, the sixth chapter, the first verse. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the doing of his word and his will, and may it edify our souls forever. Now, tonight's lesson is a good lesson. It's to remind us of how distracted we can become. And our topic for tonight is, and I'm going to give you the answer, I'm going to ask, it's coming in the form of a question, but I'm going to give you the answer to that question, and then after I give you the answer, I'm going to explain why. But tonight's lesson is, why can everybody see him except for you? And the answer to that question is because something or someone is blocking your view. You have an obstructed view. And I'm going to tell you why in the said verses and explain to you. First of all, I have to give you a history on Isaiah. Now, see, we know that Isaiah, he came into power. He began to reign in the 16th year of being on this earth. And in the process of him reigning, he reigned for 52 years. And the 52 years that he reigned, Isaiah, through the prophets of God, had become a God-fearing man. He had become impressive. He had listened to the high priest. He did the things that were pleasing in the eyesight of God, as well as the eyesight of the people. And upon doing so, he became a great king. But somewhere along the line during his reign, as not most men, but as some men do, I even go so far as to say, as most men would do, he lost contact with himself. That humbleness that he had in serving the Lord began to leave him. He became arrogant and feeling that he could do or supersede the things that were of God. But once you become in violation of these things, then he was punished just like any other man. But in our lives, sometimes an individual can be so dominant. It can be so impressive. It can be so powerful that our focus is on that individual, just the way Isaiah was. But see, he was loyal unto the king. He was faithful unto the king. But sometimes during in our loyalty and in our faithfulness, we lose focus on what it is that we should do. So moving right along, Isaiah, he wanted to go into the temple and burn the incense, and that was just a job for the priest. No one was supposed to go into the temple and light the incense except for the priest. So sometimes in our arrogance or in our power or in our authority, we begin to believe that we are above the law. We begin to believe that we should not comply with the things that the law requires us to do, because in God's word he said that we are supposed to obey his law as well as the law of Mammon. So moving right along, Isaiah and his loyalty to the king, he could not see the Lord in the way in which the Lord wanted him to see him, because there was what I would call an obstructed view. And I know that Brother Brown and his family, years ago, back in the 60s, his mother would take the whole family to Tiger Stadium, which was a ballpark in Detroit. I'm more than sure that on one or two occasions, they would sit in the area, and it was one of those old stadiums that had the beams coming down, and when beams come down, they had certain areas of the ballpark where you would sit behind a beam, and you could not see the whole field. You could only see a portion of it. This is what I call an obstructed view. So they were sitting in the obstructed view seats, whereas Isaiah, at this particular time, he was sitting in the obstructed view seats. He could not see the Lord for who he was. And so by him not being able to see the Lord, now, believe me, he was a true prophet of God. He followed the rules and the regulations of that which the Lord wanted him to do. But if you think about it, sometimes our focus could be so much upon an individual that we don't see what's going on around that individual. Everything else becomes blocked out. Everything else we gather or we get what is known as tunnel vision. We don't look at the outside activity that's going around. But see, the Lord don't want you to focus on your pastor. I'm sorry, my brothers and my sisters. He wants you to focus on him. He don't want you to focus upon that brand new car that he allowed you to purchase. He wants you to focus upon him. He don't want you to focus upon that house that he allowed you to get a mortgage on. He wants you to focus upon him. And in doing so, you will see the Lord for the first time. Now, Isaiah, he was commissioned to go forth. Now, it would be different if it said in the year of King Jotham, but he said in the year that King Uzziah died, which means that sometimes in our life something has to be killed off. Something has to be moved out of the way. We have to remove those blockages that we sometimes put up, those obstructed views. We have to do like they do in the new stadiums, because there are no bad seats. Any place you see, you have a complete view of the field around you and all the activities that's going on around you. So Isaiah was so dedicated to the king, which he owed his dedication to the king, but he owed his faithfulness unto the Lord, that his focus was so narrow upon what it was that the king did. As I say, the king, he reigned for 52 years. He was a good king. He won wars against the Philistines and against all the enemies of Christ and all the enemies of God and all the enemies of his people. Now, can you imagine how impressive an individual like that is while still maintaining the peace and harmony of his own countryside, of his own kingdom? Now, could you imagine how hard it is to maintain peace and to conquer the enemy on the outside, but then you come home and you got to go to war with your wife? You come home, you got to go to war with your children. You come home and you got to go to war with your neighbor. So if you were to look at it, Isaiah had maintained and obtained a universal peace among his people, among God. See, that's the hardest thing to do, because once, sometimes when you please God, man is going to dislike it. When you please man, God will dislike it. But to be able to please both, that probably is one of the most wonderful things that you can do. So, as I say, Isaiah, his focus was on maintaining and do what it was that the Lord wanted him to do. And it just so happened to coincide with the peace and harmony of his home. But then something strange happened. As I say, Isaiah, he wanted to go into the temple, and he wanted to burn incense. Went up with the job of the priest. He thought he was above the law. He thought that he could do this. And sometimes when God grants us that power, if we're not careful, we become arrogant and we don't be humble. Now, some pastors, some people of God you can meet, and they are so humble. But some people will have the arrogance that you say to yourself, I know that we're supposed to be bold soldiers, but that's when confronting the enemy. I've run into preachers over the years that were so they were lions. They were just like John and James, the sons of Zebedee, in the pulpit. They will roar when they talk in the pulpit. But then when they're sitting by you having a regular conversation, you had the strain to hear them. You had the strain to grab a hold to the words that were coming out their mouth. So Isaiah, he lost that humbleness that God has given him. And he began to, as I said earlier, to believe in his mind and in his heart that he could do things that were not of God. He could do things that only the priest had the authority to do. So, needless to say, Isaiah, he died. And when he died, Isaiah's eyes were open. That I meant the king died. And when the king died, Isaiah's eyes, they were open. And when they were open, something miraculous happened. He saw the Lord for the first time. He got moved from that obstructed view seat to having a good seat that he could see everything and the awesomeness of the power of God, the awesomeness of his majesty. Let me explain to you in verse number 2 what happened. Well, at the end of verse number 1 of the 6th chapter of the book of Isaiah, and his train filled the temple. Now, we're going to stop right there, but I'm going to explain to you what that train is. Normally, the larger the train is on an individual, whether it's a king, whether it's an individual, whether it's a woman that's on the verge of getting married. See, that train, we don't realize that train represents majesty. It represents power. It represents richness. Because the larger the train, the more expensive it was. And at that time, the cloth or the linen, whatever the train was material it was made out of, it was expensive. And to have a train so large that it fills the temple is almost like unimaginable. So Isaiah is witnessing this awesome spectacle that is unfolding before his eyes. I mean, just think, this little bitty king is blocking Isaiah's vision, is blocking his way, is not allowing him to see what it is that he should see. So the king, just like a lot of times in our life,
things had to be killed off in order for us to realize what it is or to realize the presence of God. I'm not going to say that Isaiah didn't realize or didn't feel the presence of God, but he never witnessed it. So it says that the train filled the temple. Verse number 2 says, and above it stood the seraphim, each one has 6 wings. So this was an awesome sight. With twain he covered his face. So with 2 of his wings, the seraphim angel covered his face so as not to look upon the countenance of God, because we know that no man can just perfectly gaze upon the Lord. And with twain, with 2, he covered his feet. So, are you covered in the Lord? And with twain, he did fly. So, 2 of the wings were for flying. 2 of the wings were to cover his face. And 2 of the wings were to cover his feet. But when God reveals himself to you, when God's presence is there, that's an awesome sight. But all of these years, Isaiah does not specify in the Bible when Isaiah began to not notice the Lord or when he was doing whatever that it was that he was doing. But it did say that when the king died, because we know that Isaiah and a few of the other prophets were serviceable unto the king. But sometimes something dramatic in your life has to happen in order for you to see the Lord. Says, as the topic is said, why is it that why can everybody see him but you? But see, a lot of times the Lord is moving in and around us and through us, and we don't even see him. We don't see the Lord in somebody else. Why? Because we think that person is not worthy enough. We don't see the workings of the Lord every day. Why can everybody see him? As I say, that's a personal question. Why can everybody see him but you? So, as I'm saying, Isaiah was taken aback by the king, because Isaiah, he loved the word, say, do things decent and in order. And up until the time the king did what he did, he was doing things decent and in order. And we have to be extra careful nowadays, because sometimes we can get so caught up on watching somebody else, on focusing on what somebody else is doing, that we lose track of God. We lose our focus. Our attention will be drawn away from that which it should be drawn to. And to give you a good example, or maybe even a better example, sometimes on Sunday we come to the house of prayer and the messenger brings forth such a powerful word that all week long we're giving that messenger all the credit. Oh, Pastor Do-Right brought forth a wonderful sermon today. Boy, he really performed up in that pulpit. Not once thanking God for using him as a messenger to bring forth the word to us. We leave the edifice of God. We leave the cathedral. We leave the temple. We leave the mosque. We leave the church. We leave the hall, feeling in our hearts that it was that preacher, that messenger of God, that it was his word and not God's word. Now, can't you see how everybody can see him but you, as opposed to leaving out of the house of prayer saying, thank you, Lord, for using that child of yours to lighten my heart. We tell that preacher, you know, the word, you know, you really did speak a good word today, and I thank you for it, instead of thanking God to for blessing that man or using that man in that, or that woman in that way to enlighten our heart. Sometimes we don't give God the credit that he deserves. So it's easy to see why why Isaiah did not see the Lord until something was removed from him, until his obstructed view was unobstructed, until his vision became clear. I didn't say that Isaiah was a sinner. I know I didn't say that. But I'm just saying sometimes we can get so carried away in doing things and being a part of something that we don't look at the big picture. Now God, the Lord, is the big picture in this case. Now for whatever reason, we go to the house of prayer. Sometimes we just go there just to hear that celestial choir sing. And our focus is on that choir. So we won't visit our house of prayer that does not have a large choir, does not have a harmonious choir. We won't go there. Sometimes we go there to the house of prayer for the fashion show that most of the time be there. But our focus isn't on God. We can't see the Lord. Can't see him standing in the pulpit behind. Maybe I should change that. But no, I think I'll leave it like it is. Because he's supporting that minister. He's not behind anybody, but sometimes those ones that are in, best way to put it, those people that are in front of us. Because when we testify, we say, I give glory and honor to Jesus, who is the head of my life. That means he's at the forefront. So anything that comes in between the Lord and me, they are behind the Lord, but they're blocking my view. So in Matthew, the last verse of the total chapter of Matthew is teaching them to observe all things, and lo, always, even unto the end of the world. So God is letting us know that we must observe, we must see, we must be able to recognize him. But I'm asking you, what's blocking your way from seeing God? What's stopping you from doing what it is that he would have you to do? I'm going to tell you, it's a few things that can block your way, a few things that will cause us, and I'm talking about myself, more so me than you, that will cause us to lose focus on the Lord, on his purpose, on what it is that he will have us to do. Sometimes our loyalty to other people. We become so loyal, which is, these are things that will stop you from seeing God, our spouse, our children, our jobs, our friends, our materialistic possessions, our homes, our lust. So many things that will block us from seeing God that we got to almost every day take a personal inventory, ask ourselves, is this going to stop me from seeing you? Is this going to prevent me from recognizing you for who you are? Now, could you imagine? Okay, I'm going to verse number 3 of the book of Isaiah, the 6th chapter. And these are the angels speaking within themselves. They say, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. I'm going to stop right there once again to say the whole earth is full of his glory. Now, could you imagine with all the things that is going on now, they apply then as they do now, or now as they did then. Could you imagine all of the things that's going on that none of us right now is recognizing the glory of God. God's word said the whole earth is full of his glory. Did he withdraw that glory away from us? No, he did not. Well, what's the problem? Everybody can see it but us. Through the eyes of a child, I guarantee you, the mountains, the clouds, the trees, all of these things have a certain magnificence to them because the curiosity of these things and how these things came to be is constantly a child's companion. Because why? They constantly asking the question, why is this? Why is this? How did this happen? How did that happen? But do we have that same curiosity as the children have? No. Why? Because we have become know-it-alls. We're not recognizing the glory of God. Why? Because we have been distracted by our politicians. We have been distracted by our own personal problems. We have been distracted by our ambitions. And we're focusing on these things, and God, not in the background, but in the forefront, God is still orchestrating things. He told us that there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. He told us that these things, that in the end days, men's hearts will wax cold. But he's also there for us. Why don't you see him? Why don't you look a little bit further? Why don't you tell somebody to step aside, please? Why don't you tell your children you need to sit down and pay attention? Because we have allowed our children, speaking of children, we have allowed our children to block our way from seeing God. Why? Because regardless, we can know that our children, and they say that sometimes the preacher's children are the worst children in the church. We have allowed our children, we have got so much tunnel vision on our children that even when they do wrong, we act like it's right. Oh, children of mine, why are you trying to block my way from seeing God? Why are you trying to block my vision? We're allowing our wives and our friends and our associates to block our vision from seeing God. Why can't everybody see that my best friend is a cheater and I should tell him about himself? Why is it that I won't stand up to him and say, you know, you need to be bored and all, you need to repent. But first of all, I got to make sure that I'm right. Why can't I tell my wife that she's been a little bit too pushy, not only to me, but to other people? Why can't I do that? Why? I tell you. Because I can't see no wrong in her. Because I'm favoritizing the flesh. God's word says, if your brother is wrong, tell him of it. But that applies to the sisters too. Why is it? Because I'm being deceived. I have allowed myself to become deceived. I'm going to move over here to Matthew, the 24th chapter and the 24th verse. And I'll be reading that to you. And it reads, out of the King James Bible, it says, for there shall rise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, and so much as were permissible, they shall deceive the very elect. Okay, now let me explain that to you. Sometimes through deception, people will make you lose your focus on the Lord. They make you lose that inner vision that you should have, where you should be able to see the Lord no matter where he is. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story. It was this, and we're talking about those, and later on it tells us about those wolves, those ravening wolves in sheep's clothing. Now, it's ever permissible they will even fool the chosen elect. So we should be able to recognize if we are chosen. But see, if I don't recognize it, then it lets me know that I got to get a little bit closer to God. We should be able to recognize some of the disguises that these people are putting on claiming to be something that they're not. I'm going to tell you a quick story. It was in this city, and I'm going to, the names have been changed to protect the innocent, but it was a basketball player, a pretty tall basketball player. And so the gentleman fell upon hard times. And so during his hard times, he began to rob the same store. He robbed quite a few places in the neighborhood. Now, could you imagine a 6'8" or 6'9" or taller individual coming into a place and robbing it? So one day, people were looking for him because they described him, and he was the only individual in the neighborhood that was that tall. So one day, he was making his rounds again, and he went to the store, but this time, he had on a mask. And so the merchant at that time identified him by his name. He said, "So-and-so, I know that that's you." So the individual said, "Okay, man, just give me the money." So sometimes we got to be able to recognize, "Hey, demon, I know that that's you. Hey, demon, get out of here. I'm not going to let you take anything from me anymore." So sometimes people will try to hide behind things that they think is concealing their identity, but it were permissible. Even the young man who tried to deceive his father, who put on the furry, I'm going to say the furry vest, and didn't smell like the other son, tried to fool because his dad was losing his eyesight. So I'm just asking you, what is blocking you from seeing the Lord? Why can everybody see that your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife, your friends, your job is stopping you from seeing what it is that you're supposed to see? We have allowed so many things to come into our life that we're focusing more so on that we can't see the Lord. All the new projects, our overtime on our jobs is stopping us from seeing the Lord. Our sports activities and our leisure time activities is stopping us from seeing the Lord. My brothers and my sisters, something has to die off, and it has to die off soon. Whatever it is that's stopping you or blocking you or obstructing your vision to see the Lord, because the Lord, his power is awesome. He's awesome. Now, Isaiah had the rare pleasure of seeing God. And I know in God's word say that if you see him, we cannot look at him directly, because if we do, you have to quicken your spirit. Because if you do, the flesh will leave your bones. But I'm just saying, you can see God in other people. You can see the Lord in other people through how he operates. Now, I've been many times when someone has come, somebody that I know did not particularly care about me, and they showed the generosity and the blessings of the Lord. And you know what? I didn't see that person, but I seen the Lord working through that individual. And I know that there are numerous people out here that say, be careful how you entertain a stranger. It may be an angel of the Lord unaware. So we got to recognize these good deeds. We have to recognize what it is and how it is that the Lord is operating in our life. God's word said, don't let nothing separate you from the love of God. So if we're spiritually blind, we have to ask the Lord, Lord, in our prayers, help me to recognize who you are. Help me to recognize when you have came and you have entered into my life. Who or what do I have to remove from my life in order to see you, in order to recognize you, in order to see you for the first time? These are the questions that we have to ask ourselves. What is obstructing me? What is getting in my way? What is blocking me? What have I put before you, Lord, that shouldn't be there? I should have a clear view of you. I shouldn't go around when you came into my presence and not know it. Lord, I need your help to do this. Lord, I don't want you to kill off nobody, but kill off that feeling that I have for them that is preventing me from seeing you. That would be a sensible solution. Lord, help me to help others. Lord, what the word said, let your light so shine that men may see your good work and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Lord, is my light shining brightly? Lord, have I put my light up on the barrel? Have I put up on the bushel? Lord, I need to know these things. So, my brothers and my sisters, the decision is yours. The question still remains, why can everybody see him but you? Amen. Brother Brown.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord again on tonight for another awesome word on tonight from the Deacon Marvin Cox. I thank God for you. Listen, worldwide listeners, for those of you that are tuning in for the first time on tonight that do not know Deacon Marvin Cox's situation, he has shared this in his testimony, and I've shared it before, but I'm going to share it again for someone that do not know. There's no excuses for anyone not fulfilling their God purpose these days. Deacon Marvin Cox could use an excuse. He could use his disability, his handicap, as a reason why he do not serve God, the reason why he do not come forth over this worldwide platform and share these inspirational points and spread the good news of Jesus Christ through God's word. Deacon Marvin Cox, again, he suffers with muscular dystrophy. He cannot get out of the house and go to church like you and I can. He used to be able to do that, and I'm sure he does miss it. But God still uses him. And I thank God for this worldwide platform that I'm able to bring him forth through this worldwide platform and over this worldwide platform that he can still fulfill his God purpose in the earth by sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And what he's doing through his being faithful to God, see, that's what God rewards. He rewards faithfulness. See, you can say that you love God and you don't do anything to show God that you love him. That's an action word. Just like faith is an action word, you have to be doing something. That's what God is looking for. He said, be doers of my word. You got to hear his word first, but then it's got to get inside of you. And once it's inside of you, what are you going to do with it? You got to be a doer of God's word. And then not only that, you got to be a doer of God's word without hidden motives or agendas. What did you say, Brother Brown? Yes, that's what I said. You got to be a doer of God's word without hidden motives or agendas. You have to be an asset to the kingdom of God and not a liability. Because God is not like man, and I'm so grateful that he is. Not like man. He searches the heart. He knows our motives and our intentions. He knows if we are doing it out of love, and when we serve him and we serve people, he knows if we're doing it for the right reasons or not. So I thank God for this word on tonight. Why can everybody see him? We're talking about God. Why can't everybody see Jesus but you? And you say that you're saved. Something's wrong with that picture. You need to do accept examination through the word of God. Not your personal feelings or opinions, not your friends or your neighbors' opinions or feelings, but what do the words say about your situation? Why did you cannot see God? God wants you to see him. So we thank God for this word on tonight through Deacon Marvin Cox. So I'm praying for the listeners that do not know what your God purpose is. God wants you to know what your God purpose is. And again, Deacon Marvin Cox is a good example, a perfect example of fulfilling God's purpose, even though he have a handicap or disability that he could use, but he don't. So what is your reason for not fulfilling your God purpose on tonight? So God wants to be seen by everybody through you, and that's what Deacon Marvin Cox is saying. Sometimes we are the only people, the only way that God can see or people can see God is through us. So why cannot people see God through you? There's something wrong with that picture. Examine yourself according to God's word in the Word of God so that you will be able to see God for yourself. So we thank God for this word on tonight. I pray that you were blessed by it, worldwide listeners. Again, I thank God for each one of you. I don't take you lightly or for granted. I thank you for sharing each and every Thursday and Saturday night over this worldwide platform, and I ask that you continue to spread the news that others can tune in and be blessed by the word. So right now, we're going to close out tonight's program. And so this is a ministry, and I just love it, and I thank God for what he's doing through it, and the best is yet to come, not only for me, but for the worldwide listeners that tune in faithfully and be blessed by the word. And as you're being blessed by the word, go out and share the word that you have heard and be a doer of God's word. We're going to close out in prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come once again to give you praise, glory, and honor for who you are. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, which we don't deserve, but because of your unconditional love, your agape love toward us, toward all of us, and that you have no respect of persons, you love us all the same. You do not love our sin, but you do love us as individuals because you created us. You made us after your own image and likeness. So you love us. We just bless your name on tonight because of who you are. We pray, Lord, on tonight that you will continue to move by your spirit through your word, as to your word is being ministered to your people. They will go ahead and share the good news of Jesus Christ and share what they have heard. That we all can be better doers individually than as a corporate body of believers in the earth for your glory is our prayer in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we pray right now that on tomorrow that you will be in the midst of your people on tomorrow in every door that's going to be open in Jesus' name. Anoint each vessel that's going to stand forth and bring forth your word on tomorrow to the saving of many souls. The backsliders will come back to the fold, that the body of Christ will be built up and strengthened and edified is our prayer in Jesus' name. So tonight we just give you glory, we give you praise and honor because of who you are. You're worthy to be praised in the midst of it all, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, you're worthy to be praised. And there is none like you in all the earth. You're awesome in all your ways. And Father, we love you, we bless your name on tonight is our prayer in Jesus' name. And all the people of God that are touching and agreeing with this prayer said amen. Well, listeners, I know I want you to know that I love you. God loves you even more. Continue to be blessed of the Lord. And remember, as we close out with this song, Jesus thought our lives was worth living, that he came down and paid our sin debt with his own blood. Continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.
You clean me up.